Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Journeys of Light with Reverend John White, a registered Lilydale medium. And tonight we have the great honor of having a special guest, spiritualist, reverend, and medium Marilyn Autry. Marilyn has a few stories and some knowledge to share with us. She is truly a unique asset to the world of spiritualism, and she has become known as the walking encyclopedia of spiritualism of the 20th century, having been a researcher in the field of spiritualism for over 45 years. She's well-known as an orator, teacher, and author with over 30 publications to her credit. She is the USA correspondent for the English newspaper entitled The Psychic World, as well as a columnist for the National Spiritualist Summit. She has been a featured columnist in several secular and spiritual magazines. For 3 years, she was the editor of Speak Out, and she has been listed in Who's Who of American Women, Who's Who of Women of the World, and Cambridge Who's Who 2010-2011 edition. The National Geographic Travelers magazine featured a full-page article about her varied endeavors. Marilyn was featured on the Maury Povich TV show, a story about the Southern Casadega Spiritualist Association in Florida. Her latest endeavor is the founding of her own publishing company, Shen Men Publishing, located in Sanford, Florida. And Marilyn has a number of books that she has published on spiritualism. She's a frequent speaker in Lilydale, no stranger to any visitor of Lilydale who's been there in the last several years. Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, Marilyn, you have so many stories to share. I feel like we could have you on for the next 5 weeks and we still wouldn't get to the bottom. But one of the things that you recently told me, now I hope it's okay to ask you about this. This is something really incredible. Marilyn is not only a spiritualist medium and minister, but she was also a government contract negotiator. She worked her way to the top ranks, and she actually used her psychic gifts in her career going over the government contract. She managed to save the government literally millions of dollars with her psychic gifts. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I was a contract negotiator for research and development, purchasing such things as Eye in the Sky, which was a mechanism in airplanes so the Coast Guard could track the drug traffickers along the coast. And in order to move up in my career, I knew I had to do something to get attention because there was a lot of people in the ranks. And so I realized that I could use my psychometry. If you're not familiar with that, psychometry is when you hold or touch an object and you pick up the vibrations from the object, and then you can tell the story. So I would take the cost proposals that came in from the contractors that were competing for the job, page by page, and circle all the cold spots. Then I would take the technical proposals and do the same thing. Then I would write my little memo, sending them off to each person in the cost department or into the technical department, and tell them to carefully review the spots that were circled. For years, they could not understand how I was able to know where all the little extra dollars contractors were trying to get out of the U.S. government. And just before my dear supervisor was to pass, he came in and shut the door and asked me to tell him how I did what I did. So finally, the truth came out.
And just curious, Marilyn, how did he react when you told him?
Well, he wasn't too surprised because He hadn't said anything, but he did then. And he said to me, "What is this?" And he put a newspaper on my desk. That was the reason he really came in my office. And the newspaper was about the Reverend Marilyn Autry. And they did not know I was an ordained minister, nor a medium, nor a spiritual teacher. So they got their eyes open quickly. In fact, they were a little bit afraid of me.
That's funny.
Okay, you're listening to Lily Dell Radio. And we want to talk a little bit about one of my favorite subjects and a favorite subject that most mediums should study, and it's about natural law. Natural law. And Joyce wants to read you a quote, okay?
And comment on it.
Okay, and this is actually a quote coming from one of Marilyn's books, River of Life, How to Live in the Flow. This is Bertrand Russell, philosopher. "It is not by prayer and humility that you cause things to go as you wish, but by acknowledging knowledge of natural law." And that's in Marilyn's book, River of Life, where she talks extensively about natural laws, spiritual natural laws. And that is a very big thing for you, Marilyn. Why is that so big?
It is so important because if you know the laws and if you try to live, of course, none of us are perfect, but if we try to live in accordance with the laws react the same way every time. They never change. And therefore, it not only makes your life easier, but it gives you little tricks on how to live in life.
Okay. You know, Einstein said, "I want to know how God thinks." Okay. And Einstein said, "God thinks through natural law. So whoever therefore shall live, move, and have their being in natural law, which is how God thinks through wisdom, shall experience great things in the kingdom of heaven." So the kingdom of heaven is not off there somewhere. It's obviously right here. And Marilyn, in our spiritual manuals, it says, we make our own happiness or unhappiness as we obey or disobey nature's physical and spiritual laws. And I've heard you talk about one of the natural laws that's so important. It's called cause and effect. Can you talk a little bit about cause and effect and how important that natural law is?
Cause and effect is very important because all of the laws hang on the hanger of cause and effect. And everything you do is going to react to the cause. The cause is the action. You put something in action and then you get a reaction. So if you want something to happen positively, you need to think and be positive.
Okay. Now, one of the other natural laws that I've seen in your book is about thought. Is it true that we make our own future by our thinking? Okay, and how should we learn how to monitor our thoughts so that we can manifest those things that we truly desire?
Okay, I'm sure most of you have heard the clause, thoughts are things. Well, that's not quite accurate. It's thoughts create things. So how you think, that's the cause. The effect will be the result you get. So if you think negatively, you draw negatively to yourself. If you think positive, you draw positive. And that actually is a related law called attraction. So you want to know what is necessary in your life to be changed to make things positive. And remember, every thought that goes through your head is forever in the ethers of the universe. So sooner or later, you're going to get back the reaction to what you thought.
Now, some people work with what is known as affirmations. The Louise Hay that a lot of us know and love, who's passed on, talked about working with affirmations. Do you consider affirmations a good thing for you to get involved in to help you to monitor your thoughts?
I certainly do, because an affirmation is a thought that you are creating. And when you make an affirmation, you could write it down and you could repeat it every morning or night. Like today, I'm feeling better and going to feel better as the day goes on. you will feel better because that's what you have created. And that thought goes out, drawing all the other positive energies to you to help it work.
Now, Marilyn, you were actually telling a funny and interesting story earlier today about something your mother had you do as a child. It has to do with affirmations. You said every time you said, I can't do something, she made you sit in a chair and tell us a story.
Well, you have to understand first, my father was a minister. And so my mother was the minister's wife, and she often went on the spiritual aspects of things. And so she knew from my father's many lectures, which were from the Bible, which teaches natural law. She would say to me, I would say, would you please do so-and-so? And I would say, I can't. And she would say, can't is dead, try is living. And then I would say, I still can't do it. And she would say, over to the chair. And once I got seated on the stool, she would say, okay, now you're going to say 25 times, I can do it if I try. I can do it if I try. And I can do it if I try. And I would wiggle my toes and do everything to be disenchant her because I didn't want to have to say it 25 times.
Beautiful. Now, the name of your book is River of Life, How to Live in the Flow by Marilyn J. Audrey. And where can we get this book?
The book is available in many places. If you go to Lilydale in the summer, you will find it in the bookstore. If you go to Casadega, Florida, Camp Bookstore, you will find it there. Many churches around the country have copies. It's on Amazon, and it's available right through Maryland.
Okay. Can you give us your website? Do you remember your website, Marilyn?
Yes. My website is www.MarilynJAutry. That's AWTRY.
Now, as we're looking at your book here, Marilyn, you said that you have 80 natural laws in this book, okay? And I remember being at Lilydale, and sometimes, you know, they always hear us mediums talking about natural law. But one day, one person came to me and said, what is natural law? I don't really understand it at all, okay? So, again, you have 80 natural laws in your book, and tell us a little bit about the research that you did to manifest this book.
Well, I had the same problem that John was speaking of. People were always asking me, and I was taught as a child that you don't always give the answer. You send them someplace to look for it themselves. And so I decided I needed to write a book. Well, if I was going to write a book, I needed to have the laws, as many as I could. So I spent about 2.5 years going through every book that I could find. And in the summertime, I went to Lilydale, and I sat up in the national office in the hot attic room going through every book from the 1800s trying to find the laws. And I would find maybe just one law in one book. So there was a lot of books that put together 80 laws. Now, 80 laws are not all of them. That's just the ones that are in this book. So don't be disturbed that you don't get more than 80, because there's another issue of something coming on the way that's a little bit secret right now.
As I'm looking through your book, I just noticed that it says, the natural law in the spirit world. The natural law in the spirit world, right there. Can you comment on that? And what? So are these natural laws not only in the physical world, but are they also in the spirit world?
Yes, because both worlds are one world. And yes, this book that you're referring to was written in the 1800s by Henry Drummond. And that's one of the books that has a lot of the laws in it, but expressed in different ways. So you don't really understand. I mean, you can't just take it apart and say, oh, it's the law of so-and-so, because there's so much in it. But yes, all of them are pertinent here and in the hereafter. You have to remember that while some think there's a heaven and hell, you make hell or heaven for yourself here. and it's right around you.
Okay, very good. Now, you know that since there's a book called the Law of Attraction, okay, the Law of Attraction, it became very, very popular. All this came pop book. Can you comment on the Law of Attraction and perhaps what are some of the other laws involved with really working with the Law of Attraction?
Hi, that's one of my little pet peeves. You know, the Law of Attraction is a very, very important law to everyone. And the problem with the law is people say, I want. Well, what you want and what you need are two different things. So if you say you want a car that will go 120 miles an hour, and you end up getting it, and you don't know really how to drive it properly, and end up in an accident, it's not a very happy affair. So therefore, instead of saying, I want so-and-so, or I'm going to try to attract so-and-so, if you will live the laws, the law of attraction automatically plays in action.
Thank you, Marilyn. And we wanted to ask you about, in your own life, a few examples of the law, you know, the natural laws that came into play. You told us a few stories about that, a few things that happened to you that other people would take as negatives, but you saw the greater picture. For instance, the time you were laying in the hospital bed and you noticed something, and your spirit guide said, hey, they didn't make that right. And then you called the company, and they said, well, come down and take a look at it, and they discovered you're right.
Yes, that's true. Again, you know, you don't always want to think you do things for what payment you may receive or my glory you might receive from it. You want to do things because it's helpful. And when spirit told me, I'd been in the hospital several days. In fact, it ended up being 40 days. But when spirit told me that that machine was improper, I was not supposed to get out of bed. But when the nurse was gone, I got up, turned the machine sideways, got the serial number and the company and the phone number, and I called them. And yes, they sent the rep out. And what it was, I was having an intravenous drip, and the drip would come down straight to the box, go across the top, go down the side, and back across the bottom into my arm. And when they created the new machine, which if you go, God forbid, to a hospital today as a patient, you'll see that same machine being used. And it now comes out of the drip bag of whatever they're giving you. It goes straight down, straight alongside of the box, straight into your arm. And so all because of spirit guidance, today, many people are benefiting from a machine that operates more effectively.
Thank you. What a beautiful story. Now, you've been around mediums a lot. Now, what are some of the natural laws that you feel as though it's important for a medium to know or to study?
In the back of this book, back of the book that you've mentioned, I mention the 7 natural laws which are closest to mediumship. And the primary one on this last in the book is called vibration, because a medium senses the vibration of the energy around the person, and from that energy the spirit can get through the message to the medium. And that is important if you're going to give a message. Most mediums go to classes to learn how to give messages, but you start that out off by the link, and that's so you learn to link with the spirit, and that's through the medium of vibration. There's a lot of laws that apply, but really there's 7 that I have selected most importantly in the book. And well, first I talk about intuition and the law. The first thing we have is the law of opportunity. You need to know that there's a time suitable for every occasion. And sometimes people may try to sit with a medium teacher to learn how to communicate with spirit, and they don't get anywhere. Well, don't be discouraged. It's not the right time. That's another law, the law of timing. So just set it aside and try again at another time. And how do you know that you have mediumship? You know it just because of it coming through from the spirit side of life. And then once you've come to that point, you come to what I chose as the seven most effective laws. And the first one is the law of soul evolution. For instance, when I teach classes, we begin by reading the book In Tune with the Infinite by Ralph Waldo Trying, because it elevates your consciousness spiritually. And in order to be the best and attract the best, you want to be the best. So start with your soul evolution.
Can you repeat that for everybody in case they want to look it up?
Okay. The most important thing is to elevate your consciousness spiritually. And the way to do that I use is to read the book, and we read one chapter for a lesson. So the book takes us about 10 weeks to read. Some of them might be a little shorter, and you can combine them. But when you read the book, it will give you ideas of things to do daily to improve yourself and become more conscious spiritually. We need to remember that everything we do should be done from the spiritual aspect. And then the second law is the law of personal responsibility. I have heard mediums who have been criticized for one reason or the other, and they say, but my teacher said that, or my mother said that, or somebody told me I had to. Well, that doesn't cut the ice. You're personally responsible for everything you do and everything you say. In fact, everything you think, because thought manifests into reality. And the next one is the law of awareness. You need to be aware of everything. And how I start people off with being aware is by a very silly little technique. You might have said it in school and didn't know what you were doing then, but they weren't really practicing awareness. They were just wanting you to be occupied for a time. But what we do is we take a tray, and we put maybe 50 items on it. Could be a pencil, a needle, a thread, a shell, just anything. And then we let the student look at it for 90 seconds. And then we have them go back and sit down and write down everything that was on the tray. And when they first start, some of them may get 10, some of them may get 20. But by the time they do it once a week for every 10 weeks that we have the course, they're back up to around 35, 40. So it's making you become aware.
Now, Marilyn, actually, we had a few people text to ask, what was the name of that book that you recommend, that you said that takes about 10 weeks to go through?
It's In Tune with the Infinite by Ralph Waldo Trying. And it's out of print, and so you have to go to bookstores, and you have to, well, no, it's not. It's been reprinted again, and thankfully, so I can't tell you exactly what bookstore would have it, but you certainly can look it up on the web and find it. It's In Tune with the Infinite by Ralph Waldo Trying.
Okay.
Thank you.
And what are some of the other natural laws that you would like to bring forth for us today?
The law of desire.
The law of desire. Okay.
As we said, the law of attraction is what you need, not what you want. But you can desire things. You can set a goal to help yourself get something that you want. And if it really is going to be for your best, you'll find that everything that you're doing works perfectly towards it. But if you keep hitting stumbling blocks along the way, know that you need to change that desire. You need to go a different direction. So that's number five. Number six is the law of thought, which we've already spoken about. You have to think properly. And number seven is the law of vibration, which we also spoke about.
Okay. So now, how about the law of meditation? What do you call the law of meditation? Do you believe it's important that a person who is practicing to become a medium, do you think it's important that they have some type of meditation practice?
Well, personally, I think everybody needs meditation. The average Joe needs meditation because it's a time just to sit down and quietly sit and allow your body and your mind and your spirit to relax and to become one. And so that is important for you because it changes the constitution of your body. And many diseases are caused because we overdo things. So with that, we would want to make sure that we do meditate. For a medium, I always have my students in classes start every session 3 minutes of total silence, not meditating. Meditating is to ponder a thought. Silence is to make yourself plain blank, just sit in the quiet. And once they sit in the quiet, then I introduce them to going into pondering a thought. They can pick love or hope or joy, whatever they choose. And they better choose a good one because later on when they start learning how to lecture, it's going to be brought back to their mind. They need to share what they wrote with us.
Okay. Now, Joyce has a few other books that you've written. What are some of the other books that you want to ask about, Joyce?
Oh, yes. Well, before we get to that, I just wanted to follow up on something you first started talking about with one of the natural laws that had to do with developing mediumship. And you had mentioned for a student who's sitting down and trying to give a message, if they're having trouble, you said it may not be the right time. Now, I have witnessed a very well-known medium whose name I won't say, but she said that, if you didn't get anything to the whole group of people, which was like about 200 people, if you don't get anything, don't worry about it. It just means you're not a medium. What do you think of that idea?
I would have to challenge that idea. Everyone has many talents with inside of them. Just like someone will say, you'll never play the piano when the way you're picking at the keys. That is not true. If they practice and if they're dedicated, they will achieve. Likewise with mediumship. If you'll take the time, that's what's required, is time. And if you're dedicated and will spend the time with spirit, spirit will never fail you.
Hey. No, and I have a little thought about that, too. There's a saying that there is no such thing as a learning disability. There is only inability to believe that you're taught. And so it's actually finding the right teacher who teaches it the way that you think. And Joyce, what do you got there in your hands? You got some amazing books there.
I know. John really wants to get to your books. But you know what? To be honest, Marilyn has produced so much. Like I said, we could have her on for 5 weeks straight and not get to all of it. But we have three of her books, A Light from Beyond the Tomb, Spiritualism Survived. Another one, Living in the Light, A Guide to Spiritualism's Philosophy. And Spiritualism and the Bible Connection. And then Marilyn actually has, I don't know what you would call them, their books, their mini books, the Sunflower Series, she calls them. And each one delves into different topics such as spirit photography, the home circle, the good one, table tipping, voice phenomena. Was there another one? Those ones. And then, of course, she's working on another one as we speak. She just doesn't stop. This woman doesn't stop. But, Marilyn, I want to start by asking about spiritualism and the Bible connection, especially since you said your father was a minister, right? What church was he a minister of?
My father was a Baptist minister. And I have to say, from a little girl, I challenged him every Sunday on the way home from church because I didn't think what he was saying was always right. And I paid the price. I'd had to go and read the Bible. So that was my beginning of my Bible instructions.
So can you tell us a little bit about some of the topics that you get into in spiritualism and the Bible connection? I know that, you know, a lot of people have trouble. They think that, you know, they grew up with a Christian background and sometimes they have problems with ideas, the spiritualist ideas, or there's a lot of confusion, I think, Christianity and spiritualism, maybe on both ends even.
Well, one of the reasons that I wrote that book was because some spiritual organizations have their opinion and others have theirs. And then some people in the world, they have different opinions about things. And so I found out that there were some spiritualists who used the Bible because they say that it's just a book, just another book, and it's not their religion. But every Bible of the world is your religion if you can understand the parts that are made just for you. Maybe not page from one till the last page, but maybe page 30 is the answer to the question you have about life. So I wanted to make sure that people that question also the fact they hear spiritualists don't believe in the Bible. Well, that's not true either. And so I decided the best thing to do was write a little book that would explain different questions that I have been asked over the years. And for instance, one question here is, what exactly are controls and guides? Well, if you go to the Bible, you find out that there was controls and guides right from the early first five testaments, which was the Jewish religion, all the way through. And you find out that spirit is always with you, and it tells you over and over again, you never walk alone, that spirit guides. So if spirit guides, and if we're told that, and if mediums prove that, then I decided best thing to do is put it in writing in a book where people could compare the Bible and spiritualism. Another one that supports spiritualism is spiritual healing. You know, in the Bible, you know where Jesus went and healed the lame, opened the eyes to see, did many various things that were called miracles. They were not miracles. They were that he knew how to attune to the higher consciousness and to affect the energy to make things work. And today we still have healing in our spiritualist churches, and we practice healing. We do the laying on of hands, as do many of the churches that are not of the mainstream. Okay, there's things that we have, such as clairvoyance, where you see. And for instance, in giving a reading in public, you may look at an individual, you see a spirit behind them, and you also might see pictures around them, called clairvoyance or clear seeing. And if you practice it, you can actually practice learning how to see. Some people close their eyes. Some people lift their eyes up into the looking towards the sky. Some people look at you straight with their eyes wide open. So there's various techniques, and the thing to do is to find a good teacher.
Thank you, Marilyn. And you know what? I wanted to ask you a question because I know this comes up with so many Christians who are really interested in spiritualism and mediumship, but they have been taught, and I think this mostly comes from the Old Testament, about not visiting soothsayers and not contacting spirits or things like that. Oh, you're already ready.
Well, number one, you have to remember that every book of the Bible was written by a human being. Yes, they may have been inspired. Everyone writes differently. And so they write what they're aware of and what they're conscious of. And if you look throughout the whole Bible, you don't find that statement made but in a few places. And that's because those people were friends also. And so they did have the same philosophy. And so therefore, they didn't believe in anything. They called it witchcraft, or they called it soothsayers, or whatever they wanted to call it. And today, some people still have the same idea that we're of the evil side of life, and that is not true. We are closer to the truth than just about anybody because we believe in the natural law, which are the laws of God. No one wrote them down in paper until they were given them and proven to them. Every action has its reaction. And so every law always acts in the same way under the same conditions.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And so we have another book here of yours called Light from Beyond the Tomb, Spiritualism Survived. What do you have to say about that one?
Well, I can tell you about that one. I was sitting in the library in the National Building in Lilydale, New York, and a man was just scribbling down notes as fast as he could from a book written by a man named Rubin. And the book was very negative about spiritualism. And I said to him, I'd like to say, do you come here often? I had to start a conversation some way. And he said, yes, I do. And I said, do you really believe what you're writing? And he said, well, it's in this book. I said, well, let me tell you a thing too. The fact of the matter is, Rubin was against spiritualism because he didn't get what he wanted. He wanted to be told one thing and was told something else. And so he was going to prove that spiritualist mediums were wrong. And so he writes this book about the death blow being the Fox sisters. Some of you may have heard of them. They were the two little girls who first opened the doorway to the spirit that had been murdered and was buried in their home. And it's true, you'll hear it, and also I'll say it. In their early life, around their 30s, they became alcoholics. And I can assure you, if I as a medium were put under the conditions they were, I probably would be too. So I wanted the truth of what happened behind that tomb to be known. And then I wrote the book, Light from Beyond the Tomb.
Okay. And so here we have just one more. Living in the light.
Well, that was written because I have written several books, as I've told you, and I talk about spiritualism philosophy in some of them. And someone told me that one of the things they have the most problem with is the philosophy of spiritualism, because they can only find a few things in the manual. So I decided, okay, I'll put a book in writing on living in the light, which is spiritualism's philosophy, and it teaches us the principles of spiritualism, which are very easy to understand, and particularly the one of personal responsibility and doing unto others. And so using those two as my start off, I went through the different philosophy of spiritualism and how we live and how we grow spiritually by putting our thoughts and our actions into the same higher vibrations and doing what can help humanity. Spiritualism is founded on helping humanity.
Beautiful. And you're listening to Lilydale Radio, and our host tonight is Joyce.
Thank you. You're listening to Journeys of Light with Reverend John Light and our special guest, Marilyn Autry. And if you are a Lilydale regular, you may have seen Marilyn giving talks or messages, as she did for many years. And she also speaks in Casadega, the famous, cousin to Lilydale, Casadega, Florida. In fact, we were just there several days ago, and Marilyn was sharing some interesting stories, although I don't know how much she wants to put on the radio, if you want, because we were talking about the Fox sisters and how they turned to alcohol. And you were remarking that a number of mediums actually, you're not sure why, but a number of mediums happen to have alcohol problems. Do you have any sense or any theories about that?
Yes, I have my own theory, and I don't know how many people would agree with me. But I think that the reason some mediums turn to alcohol is they overbook themselves. And by sitting and doing readings for too long a period of time without breaks or without meditation and without guidance from spirit in that manner, they get stressed out. And so at the end of the day, the best way to get unstressed is have a little toddy. And one toddy becomes two. And soon it becomes something that they're not controlling anymore. So I always suggest that mediums make sure that they don't stress themselves out by overworking their mediumship. Remember, they have to attune to spirit if they're going to give spirit messages. So spirit has to lower their vibration, and the medium has to rise their vibration so they can meet.
Now, Marilyn, Joyce found some other books of yours. One is called Spiritualism on the Move. What about this book, Marilyn?
Well, the story behind that book is, as I told you, I was called the Encyclopedia because I do so much research. And I heard so many people saying things about different camps or different places or different theories, and they were not accurate. So I said, okay, I think I'll just go and write a book on spiritualism and how it started and how it moved along. And so I wrote this book. And it's interesting how spirit works, because in this book, I included a little article about a church in Meadville, Pennsylvania. And I did not know of the church, did not know anything about the church, but I was led to this newspaper article, and it just had a little bit about this church. So I put it in the book. And a few days after the book was out on the book sales, I got a call from the pastor of the church. And she said one of her people had bought the book and was so excited to see their church listed in the book. So many people have gone through the book and found out. I go through around the world on spiritualism. I go about different churches and different philosophies. And I go about different activities and special events that happen. And so it moves spiritualism from 1848 to, I think this was written about 2014, 15, or 16, somewhere in there.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Marilyn. And actually, one story I found very interesting. I'll let you tell the story because you can tell it better. It had to do with some of the first spiritualists and the lengths that they had to go to, going cross-country to go and speak at different churches.
Yes, I was particularly talking the other day to Joyce about two of the pioneers of spiritualism. One of them was Harrison D. Barrett, who became the president of the first organization in 1893. And the other one was George Colby, a man who settled in Casadega, Florida, and sold the property that today is now known as Casadega Camp. And so these two men, just now remember, this is in the late 1800s, they wanted to get spiritualism across the United States because it was very heavily populated from Midwest to the East Coast. And so there was no transportation for them. And neither one of them had a horse. And so they started walking across country. And they didn't want their only pair of shoes to be dirty when they got into a church or into a group of people. So they would walk barefooted. And then before they got to a place where they were going to try to communicate with people, they would dry off their feet and put on their socks and put their shoes back on. And they went clear across to California carrying the message of spiritualism in that manner.
That's dedication.
That's real dedication. Okay. Talk about blazing the trail.
And Marilyn, in your book, Path of Light, Volume 1, Chapter 9, quote an anonymous source, "All religions of the world talk about heaven. Spiritualism is the only one that has given proof of the continuity of life through the demonstration of mediumship." And you start to talk about Dr. J.M. Peebles. Can you tell us a little bit about Dr. Peebles?
Dr. James Peebles is known as the missionary world traveler of spiritualism. And he also has about 7 or 8 books out about his travels. And Dr. Peebles, if you happen to go to Lilydale, in the Assembly Hall, there's a picture there with a man with a long, long white beard, and that's Dr. James M. Peebles. He was very popular then, and he's still popular today as we teach all the students about him.
Now, do you have time for a question from a caller who is wondering about her life path?
Let's talk to her. We'll see what happens.
Okay. We have Jen calling from Pennsylvania, and she wants to change direction with her path, and she wants to do something more holistic. She's been trained in Reiki, and she's getting ready to move, and she's hoping that you can help her to maybe tune into her spirit guides and figure out if she's on the right path.
Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Okay. Have you ever been to Lilydale?
I have. I took a class there this summer for the first time.
Beautiful. Okay. Now, Joyce did say you were interested. You did a course in Reiki healing. But let me just say something. All forms of mediumship is for the purpose of healing. All forms of mediumship is for the purpose of healing. Okay? Do you know who Edgar Cayce is?
Yes.
Because I find myself thinking about him as I'm tuning into you. And he took his healing into being intuitive, and it's called medical intuitive. Do you know what we mean by medical intuitive?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I get a feeling that's a step that you may want to take, because I feel as though you already have a natural law. You already have the natural talents of healing, and I'm also sensing that you're really quite clairvoyant. And I also get a feeling that you get messages at nighttime sometimes through lucid dreaming. Do you know what we mean by lucid dreaming?
Kind of.
Okay, well, lucid dreaming is that when you're dreaming at night, but all of a sudden you become conscious inside the dreams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to ask, we have a very special guest on. She knows all about spiritualism. Would you like to ask her any questions about spiritualism and perhaps about mediumship? Let me introduce you to Marilyn Audrey.
Thank you.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm just wonderful. Or like my old Charlie Jones friend said, fantastic.
So I am actually really new to, you know, all of the spirituality. I just went through an awakening, well, really last year, and was pretty closed off to almost anything. And I've had many people tell me that I am psychic and clairvoyant and everything, but I don't see it. I really don't. I have started on this path doing Reiki, and I love it. But I'm not sure where to go from here. I'm going to be moving to Wisconsin, and I'm not sure where to go from here. I've been trying to take different classes, but money's tight for us, and it's hard for me to, you know, spend the money on a lot of different classes. So do you have any advice for me?
Well, for one thing, you're probably moving to a good area, because there's a lot of spiritual activity going on, and just spirituality as well as spiritualism in Wisconsin. And you will hit up with some people that will give you some direction of places that you can attend where there's a lot of, I could call them classes, but they're not seminars or workshops. They're usually small gatherings where people discuss certain types of healing aspects or mediumship aspects, clairvoyance or clairsentience. And you might just find yourself moving in the right direction. And when you say that you don't see it, that's what everybody says. We all have said it. We said, we think it's our head. We think it's this. We think we heard somebody say it. But you need to trust, and you need to know that if you're working for the good of humanity, you're going to get help, and you're going to get direction. And you'll get it from the other side. When you say people say you're psychic, I want to tell you something. Everybody has a psychic bug inside of them, just like they have everything else inside of them. It's a matter of bringing it forward and using it for good.
Right.
So,
right. And that's really what I want to do. I want to be able to, you know, help people. And I'm just not sure what that means at this point. And since I'm going to be moving, I'm going to have to get a job out there, and I'm not sure what that means.
What means?
I like, is there any direction that I should be taking as far as a job, or do you have any suggestions for me as to what direction I should be headed, or anything like that?
Well, let's tune into that. If you can ask these questions, if you can answer these questions, then you'll get the right job, okay? So,
okay.
Let me ask you a question. If your work became a manifestation of your passion, money, age, and education was not an excuse you could use, what would you love to do?
I would love to probably help people that are in hospice care.
Okay, beautiful. Then that's a very big beginning. Remember, we're talking about Marilyn, about some of the natural laws. So, Marilyn, what are some of the natural laws if a person is trying to discover their natural talents? What are some of the natural laws that they may want to study to activate that?
I would say the first thing that you want to do is you want to, before you even start studying the natural laws, you just want to give yourself some quiet time to think. To think about direction and to think about where you want to go with your life and let the unseen start gelling so it can help you. You know, you didn't get into Reiki by mistake.
Right, right. I know that.
You were led into it, okay? And you'll be led as long as you allow yourself. But if you start putting too many questions in front of yourself and you lower the vibration and the movement of the energy to move you forward, you get stuck in a rut. That's why people get in ruts. So if you just go forward and go where you feel comfortable and pick up books on different subjects, and, you know, even if you went to a library where you could just browse for a while, let it come to you. Don't try to force somebody telling you or you figuring out, oh, I think I want to be a musician, you know, because
right.
maybe that's not your talent. So allow yourself to draw those to you that will put you in the right place at the right time. You know,
I love that.
I never thought I would be a spiritualist or be a medium, being a Baptist minister's daughter. But guess what? I had a friend that just awakened my spirit, and I saw what they could do and what they were doing, and I wanted to do the same thing. So you get put in front of people that can help you. Just allow yourself to be open.
Okay. I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling us. Thank you.
And you are listening to Journeys of the Light with Reverend John White, a registered Lilydale medium, and Marilyn Autry, spiritualist minister, author, teacher, medium, and so many other things. And we always just like to remind everybody that Lilydale, even though this, you know, special Lilydale season happens during the summer, there are events that happen all year long. And on Sunday, there are three church services. Two start at 10 a.m., and they're both located on the Lilydale grounds, which, of course, is in western New York, about 1 hour south of Buffalo. And then there's another church service that starts at 6 p.m. right off the grounds at the Fellowship of the Spirit. And all three church services, well, they may have slightly different philosophies, all of them have a healing service, an inspirational message, and then messages from spirit to, you know, about a dozen or so people. And the church services are open to everybody. You don't have to be a member of the church. They welcome everyone to come and visit and check it out. So that happens every single Sunday. And then Judith Rochester teaches psychic and mediumship development classes every Friday evening at 7 p.m., weather pending, of course. We get a lot of nasty weather in western New York. So, you know, you could just go online, LilydaleAssembly.org, and check out all of the events that happen. There are, you know, different drumming circles that happen on certain Thursdays of the month. And of course, Gregory Keene, who's going to be down here next, down in Casadega, right, March 10th. Oh, I'm sorry, Spiritualist Church of Awareness in Orlando. Yeah, he's going to. In this area, Gregory Keene is going to be down here speaking and giving messages next week at Maryland's church. And during the winter season, sometimes he does do Wednesday development classes in Lilydale. John?
That reminds me, I'm going to be at Casadega giving messages, not this Wednesday, but the 13th. So come on down to Camp Casadega here in beautiful Casadega, Florida. Okay, now we have a few more moments, Marilyn. Perhaps you can give us some closing thoughts. And we are going to be doing another program with Marilyn if she's up to it.
Well, my one thought, and I'm just not promoting my book because I'm sure you can find some others that have some laws in them, but I would encourage everybody to get in touch with the laws. They're very simple laws. They're laws of understanding. They're laws about the cycles and how things go round and round, and they're laws about how to react and how to act and just the simple things that happen every day in your life. And I cannot tell you how much better your life will be if you're living in the flow. So that's one thing that I think is very important. I also think that it's important that we learn to share the positive with others. There are so many people out there hurting today, and our world is in a whirlwind right now, and we need all to send out the energies of healing and the energies of activity for the best and for the betterment of all of humanity. So it's important for us to work together because, in essence, we all are one.
Okay. And isn't that one of the natural laws, that we are all one? Okay.
Well, Marilyn, speaking of healing, natural healing, actually, I don't know if you want to mention this, but you have recently stumbled upon a lifesaver of a healing method. I don't know if you want to mention it too.
Well, put on your seatbelts, because it upset a lot of people. But I have to tell you, I had a terrible problem that happened to me in the end of 2017. And I have gone through a very trying time, which they said would take at least 18 months. And the pain that I had was unbearable. And my daughter brought me some cream to put on me. And a day later, I had no pain. So a few days later, she came back and she brought me a little bottle of stuff. And she said, put these drops in your mouth and swallow them and don't worry about it. Just do it. So, of course, being the inquisitive one, I had to know what it was. And she said, CBD oil. And I said, well, what is that? And she said, well, it's got hemp and some people call it cannabis and what have you. And I said, you're trying to make a druggie out of me. She said, no, I tried to stop your pain. Well, I want to tell you, I started taking CBD oil, and I don't sell it, so I'm not promoting it for that. I'm promoting it for healing. I started taking it in August. I have not had one pain in my body since August. Take it every day faithfully.
Okay. Thank you. I believe in it too, so I'm not going to do a disclaimer.
Thank you, Marilyn. We just wanted to share that because, you know, we've been talking about it quite a bit the last few days and how much it's helped you. So we just want to let other people know about that. And Marilyn, will you be you'll be joining us for a future radio show, I hope?
Well, I'd be more than delighted.
Wonderful. In the meantime, what is your website again if people want to find more information?
My website is, I will spell my name too. My name, Marilyn, is spelled Marilyn. And Autry, not like Gene Autry, it's a W, Awtry. So my site is www.MarilynJAutry.
Okay. And on behalf of the Lilydale Assembly, Joyce and Marilyn, we'd like to thank you for tuning in tonight and being with us. And the Lilydale brochure will be out soon. And so you can go online and tune into lilydaleassembly.com, lilydaleassembly.com.
Thank you. God bless and good night until we meet again, hopefully next Wednesday, 8 p.m.
I don't know if we're doing it.